Welcome to Scaling Wellness, the podcast that will give you all the tools you need to grow your wellness business and thrive in the online space. I'm your host, Caroline Kopp, Pilates teacher and health coach, turned business mentor for wellness experts, teachers and coaches just like you. This is the podcast where we uncover the strategies, stories and tools to help you to scale your wellness business, build impactful digital products and create the time, money and freedom that you crave. If you're ready to grow your online presence, make a bigger impact with your clients and in the wellness industry, and uncap your revenue, you are in the right place. Let's dive in. Hello there. Welcome to today's episode of Scaling Wellness. I'm Caroline Karp. Really good, as always, to be here with you. I am going to share with you today something that came up for me, actually, this week. And it's not a new concept. It's not something that I'd never thought of before. And I'm sure it's something that you are aware of. In fact, I think it's something that you are painfully aware of, which is why I want to talk about it. So I was at an event for a friend, and actually that person is going to be coming on the podcast really soon. She was launching her brand new book. And before we got there, a group of us met up for a drink, and we were talking about the, you know, what can happen in your businesses, what can go wrong, like what are the kind of big, you know, the big levers, the big things that make the difference between a successful business and an unsuccessful business. Gosh, this sounds like a really boring conversation to have around drinks, but they're my business besties and we love talking about this stuff. So we were chatting about that and someone said, the thing is, people buy you. People are buying us. People are buying into our personalities, our ethos, our thoughts, our feelings. They resonate with us. They like us. They trust us. And so when we disappear or we stop showing up or we stop being present, or we stop, you know, being there for our customers and our clients and our future customers' clients, people notice and it reduces that trust. It reduces that engagement. It reduces that the ability for them to kind of get to know us. And so I have conversations with people all the time where they talk to me about how much they hate social media and how they hate, you know, getting crickets and they hate getting ignored and they don't get any engagement and they don't, you know, no one likes or comments on their posts and, you know, how disheartening it can be and what a treadmill of content it can be. But I want to say something that I believe to be true. For me, and I don't use social media to be my business. I'm not trying to make money from social media, but I do use it as a way of harnessing relationships. But you will see if you look on my social media, my engagement isn't amazing. I don't get loads of comments, loads of likes, but I always still to this day am surprised by the people that come out of the woodwork, the random emails and DMs I get that say, I've been following you for a while, or I've been listening to your podcast for the past year, or I've binged every episode. They come out of the woodwork and I'm always surprised by it. And it's so lovely when you get those messages. But I'm always surprised by it because my engagement isn't great. But I don't really use social media to go viral. That is never my intention when I'm creating anything. What I use it for is an opportunity and a space for people to binge me and my content and my beliefs and my ethos and what I do. I don't use it because I need or want a huge following. Gosh, it would be lovely, wouldn't it? A lovely vanity metric. But I don't use it for that. I use it so that people can binge me because I know that the people that come into my world do that. They research, they go away, they want to kind of spend time with me before they actually make contact with me. And I think the same is true for you guys. I think we need to reframe what we're doing in the online space, on social media, as an opportunity for people that maybe will never raise their hand, but it's an opportunity for them to get to know you a little bit better, understand a little bit about you and your life, and get a feel for what you do. So many of you are telling me that you want an online business, you want freedom, you want recurring income, but you're kind of hoping that you can skip the part that gets you that. And what I want today's episode to kind of help you with is to show you that actually it's one of the most important parts. Being visible is becoming even more valuable as the years go by. So being visible now compared to 12 months ago is again all so much more important than it was. It's a completely different landscape. And the reason for that, the first thing we're going to talk about is AI and the fact that AI is changing the rules. Information, as you know, has become really easy to come by. It's become really cheap. In fact, it's free. It's free. Anybody can go to ChatGPT and ask what the best exercises are for back pain, how to lose weight, what I should eat in a day, do me a core Pilates routine, write me a meal plan for the next 6 weeks. Information has become commoditized. So your audience doesn't need you to be Google. It doesn't need you to be an information resource. And if you pitch yourself as that, you are going up against Meta, Google, YouTube, OpenAI, Claude. Like, you're putting you against those juggernauts. Like, why would you do that? So information is a commodity. It is free. Very, very low value. So your audience doesn't need you to be that. So they don't need you to be saying, you know, 5 tips to improve your posture. Instead, they need you. They need somebody that they trust. They need you to show that you understand them. You need to show them that they will enjoy working with you and they will enjoy learning from you. AI is making expertise really easy to access. Your qualifications, your knowledge, the information that you hold is worthless in essence. What is going to move you away from being a commodity is your experience, is your personality, is your humanity, because that actually is the thing that can't be replaced by AI. And so suddenly, being a real person is more important than ever. Now, I know when I work with people, I get to know them first. I would never pay a high ticket price for somebody that I didn't feel like I knew. And that might be just hearing their voice. It might be that I just want to kind of listen to the cadence they speak at or the words that they use. You know, someone said to me yesterday in a conversation that people that stay with her because they love her style of teaching. And her description of that was that I talk a lot and I'm, you know, she's absolutely lovely and brilliant. And she's quirky and she's fun and she's speaks fast and she's, you know, all of these incredible qualities that for some people are going to be absolutely the right fit. For others, they won't be. But for some people, they will be the right fit. And she said, you know, sometimes people don't stay. They come for a session and then they leave because I'm not the person for them. And that's what you want to become, actually, not by being contrived and curating a personality, but just by being who you are. You know, sometimes the speed that you speak at is important. Sometimes the imagery you use is important. Sometimes the vocabulary you use is important. I remember I was going to invest in a coach. This is going to make me sound like a right snob, but I was going to invest in a coach a few years ago until I listened to her podcast, and I couldn't get past her grammar errors. And it to the point where I couldn't hear what she was saying because everything she was saying was grammatically incorrect and it just stuck in my throat. I'm sure she's brilliant. She probably has tons of ways that she could help me, but I couldn't get past the grammar. And what it did was it just diluted everything else that she was saying because I didn't hear it. So that for me was an absolute non-negotiable. That wouldn't work for me. But for someone else, it would be fine. So making sure that you are showing up and showing your personality. Now, that could be in emails, it could be on an Instagram live, it could be a talking to camera reel. You can script it if you want to. It could be you having a conversation with someone else on an Instagram live if you'd rather be interviewed or interview or just have a chat. You know, there's loads of ways that you can show up, but showing up is really important. Now, going back to this idea that people aren't buying information, I think, again, it's really key that we kind of hone in on this topic, that most wellness experts think what they're selling is information, and really you're not. You're selling confidence, hope, reassurance, support, accountability, what else? Belief, energy, perspective. So that is the reason why two people, or actually let's say in the world of wellness, thousands of people can sell exactly the same product, but one will outsell the other by a million miles. The difference isn't what you know, it's the connection that you build. It's the way that you convey it. And so what I would say in the era that we are currently in is that it isn't a level playing field, but it also is absolutely not down to the best winning. The best teachers out there are not necessarily the ones with the biggest businesses. The best coaches out there are not necessarily the ones with the biggest businesses. They're the ones that are able to connect with their audience. They're the ones that are able to inspire hope, to give reassurance, to create support, to include and incorporate accountability, to build up belief, to change perspectives. It's connection that sells in 2026. Way over information. So I really want that to be kind of the takeaway that you get from this. That connection can look however you want it to look. You know, the reason I do a podcast is because I can't be bothered to do YouTube, right? So finding a version that works for you is really, really key. And if for all of you avid listeners, if you go back to January of this year, of 2026, my plan was to add this podcast onto YouTube. And I just can't be bothered. I can't be bothered because for me, showing up is really important. Doing this podcast weekly without fail, I've never missed a week, is really important. Showing up on a screen puts in a barrier for me. It means that I feel like I have to be camera ready, and I'm not always. Let's face it, we're not always. And so I don't want that as a barrier. So showing up in a way that works for you, that fits for your lifestyle, that you can kind of get behind and be consistent with, is really important. And so I would say that the heart of this episode is people buy people. We buy because we like the person selling, essentially. And that's not true always in the product space, in product businesses. You might be listening to this and thinking, well, what about my latest purchase on Amazon? That wasn't because of a person. But actually, when you map things back, you might find that that's not true. I bought something the other day on Amazon. This is a really random example, but it was a cleaning product, and it was like a duster. I can't remember what it's called, Flash Magnet or something like that. And it's like a duster, but it's got sticky bits on it, and you kind of throw it away after a few uses. And I just thought, oh, that looks great. I'm going to get myself one of those. The reason I decided it looked great is because I saw someone using it on Instagram. One of the influencers that I follow was using it, raving about it, and I thought, yep, that's exactly what I need. So actually, I'm buying because she has recommended. So it's that trust, it's that familiarity. Also, if you think about some of the biggest businesses in the world, not all of them, but what's definitely growing in the last few years is this idea of personal brand. It's being led, it's being really spearheaded by, I don't know how many of you follow Daniel Priestley, but he talks a lot about personal brand. And he gives some really good example. You know, if you look at the Apple website, Apple Instagram, for example, has way less followers than Steve Jobs or Tim Cook. They both, as personal brands, have huge followings. Apple doesn't. In the same way, if you look at When Ronaldo, for example, was playing for Manchester United, Manchester United Instagram following was a certain number, but Ronaldo's was, you know, 10 times that. So the personal brand is the key. Elon Musk has a far bigger following as his personal brand than any of his products do. So just remembering that it's the person behind the brand that's important. People trust what feels safe and familiar and comfortable, you know. So thinking from your perspective of how you deliver this, every reel, every email, every podcast, every story is another opportunity for you to just start to increase the trust. People don't buy from strangers. They want to know who you are. One of the things we were talking about in my Scaling Wellness group yesterday was the idea that I don't really love a newsletter. I really love my clients to be in contact with their audience weekly. And we really endorse that in the group. But I don't love a newsletter, purely because a newsletter by nature is information. And that isn't something that people are going to get excited about reading, particularly when it's the same information every week or every month. It's just an update on class times or an update on, you know, what's for sale. What people want is stories. They want experiences. They want to feel what you've been up to, what you're doing. They want to know the things that have gone wrong for you, the things that have gone right for you, but especially the things that have gone wrong for you. Those are definitely the biggest the biggest wins. When I send an email that's got the title oops in it, suddenly that engagement rockets. You know, you think people aren't receiving your emails and then you send one with oops in the title and you realize they are, they're just not opening them. So that's always a good test for your audience. But you know, people need to feel safe. They need to feel like they're in a safe pair of hands, especially in wellness. We need to remember that we are in the space of health. They need to feel like they know you in order to trust you. And personality really can be the big differentiator. There are thousands of wellness experts out there doing exactly what you do. Thousands of health coaches, thousands of nutritionists, thousands of teachers. What you do is not unique, but you are. Your humor, your energy, your way of explaining things, your experiences, your stories. That is what makes you unique. When you do that consistently, people feel like not only do you know what you're doing, but you're also professional about it. You've shown up every week, you're established, you're turning up. Even when they've never spoken to you before, that consistency of message, whether it be your niche, whether it be the regularity of your posting, whether it be the consistency of your emails, even when people don't know you and have never spoken to you, people really like that consistency. They really like to know that, for example, every Monday I release my podcast without fail. And that consistency is really, really key as another way of creating trust, as another kind of layer of professionalism and trust. And finally, people want someone to like them. You know, very often we buy from the people we like. They want to see whether they see a bit of themselves in you, you know, or maybe they aspire to be a little bit more like you. That's why your stories matter. That's why they're interesting to people, because people want to see, yeah, gosh, she gets me. That's exactly the type of thing my husband would do. That's exactly where my kids are at. People buy people, but they also buy people like you. Right. So my friend's got this phrase where she says PLU, people like us. And it's because it's, you know, you collect over the years, people like you, you kind of form a tribe. And that's what you're trying to do in the online space. So let's finish this off by looking at what visibility could actually look like for you. I don't want you to panic. Visibility is a big word and it feels very terrifying. But it doesn't mean dancing on reels, posting every day, being really loud, sharing everything about your family, your children. You will notice that there are elements, big elements of life, of my life, that I never share. And in fact, I was chatting to someone the other day who's a good friend of mine who's got a podcast, and she started to tell a story, and I said, oh, I know this story because you told it on your podcast. And then she continued with the story, and I realized that actually there was a huge chunk missing from the podcast version. Not that it wasn't a true story on the podcast, it absolutely was, but there was a massive element missing that was really important that she didn't feel comfortable sharing in the online space. She still used the story to get the point across that she wanted to make, and she was still able to build connection and have, you know, authority and share information about her life. But at the same time, she was able to hold back the things that are personal to her, the things that she doesn't necessarily want to be sharing. You know, so there are ways of doing this that mean that you don't have to just turn your lives over to the cameras. I absolutely would never say that you need to be doing that. But I would love to see you sharing stories, sharing your opinions, celebrating wins, talking about failures, you know, when things go wrong. People love that, and it's really relatable. And it might feel like you need to be the expert and the guru, but you absolutely don't. People are not paying you to be the guru. They want you to be a few steps ahead of them. And so showing a little bit of vulnerability, showing a few mistakes, a few failures, really shows that this is actually possible for them, rather than feeling like they have to be perfect and perfection is the only way, and that's the only way they'll get results. That actually feels really unachievable. So showing your failures, showing behind the scenes, doing voice notes for people. You know, if someone DMs you on Instagram, send them a voice note. Share your voice, share your tone of voice, share your welcome, your beautiful energy. You can get that across if you're a good writer on emails, photos, videos, but let people see you and hear you. You remember that you're, to kind of pull this together, your audience is buying a future version of themselves. Now, people are not buying courses, they're buying possibility. And your visibility will help them believe. They will help them to see, if you can help others, maybe you can help me. So everything you do, every piece of content isn't about going viral, it's about reducing uncertainty. It's about building trust and helping people to understand who you are as a person. And so if we're in a world, which we are, where AI is becoming better at producing content, then our job is not to produce more content. We don't want to go up against AI. There's no point. You're in a race to the bottom. Instead, what you can do is become more recognizable, more memorable, more human, because your audience isn't actually looking for the person with the most information anymore, as we've already discussed. They're looking for the person they can trust enough to follow. So I am going to leave that there. I really hope that was useful, helpful. Let me know. I am going to include below a link to my latest free resource, which is a checklist. Now, the checklist is for anybody who feels like they want to create an online product, an online solution. They want to move away from their, you know, in-person teaching or coaching, but you've got doubts or you've got questions. Maybe you're worried about your niche. Maybe you're worried about your audience. Maybe you're worried it will fail. Maybe you're questioning the tech. There are about 8 or 9 different scenarios of things that I've seen really consistently with my clients, real big fears, real big question marks. So what I've done is I've listed those out. You can tick as many as you like, and then you will get action steps for that problem and also a resource, a specific resource that will help you to solve that problem. Because what I really want is for you guys to feel safe enough to start taking action. And so hopefully this free resource will help you to do that. I'm going to pop the link below. It's the online wellness success checklist. If you would like access to that, it's entirely free. There's loads of resources in there, loads of support, and loads of really actionable next steps for you so that you can start taking action, maybe start dipping your toe into this world before you feel ready. I hope that's useful. If you have any questions, I will be back again next week. As I said, I never miss a week. If I do, something bad has happened. So check in on me and I will see you again next time. Thanks, guys. Thanks for tuning in to Scaling Wellness. If you found today's episode valuable, I'd love to hear from you. Connect with me over on Instagram @CarolineKopp and drop me a DM and let me know what your biggest takeaway was.
Or if you know a friend or colleague in wellness who would find this podcast useful, I'd love you to share this episode with them, or maybe tag it in your socials. It might be just what they need to hear today as well. And finally, if you are enjoying the podcast, don't forget, please rate and review. It helps more wellness professionals like you to discover the show and ultimately allows us as a community to grow the wellness message and help more people. So until next time, remember, the problem you solve for your clients still exists. So keep sharing your wellness message.